Hello and welcome to another episode of Drinks Break, a podcast produced by The National, dedicated to cricket in the UAE and around the world. It is Tuesday, December the 22nd. I'm Chitrabhanu Kadlail for thenational.ee. The squads have been announced by the five teams that will compete in the inaugural Pakistan Super League, a 2020 club competition to be held in the UAE from February 4th to 23rd. The five franchises representing the major cities of Pakistan include Islamabad, Lahore, Karachi, Quetta, and Peshawar. With me to discuss the squads, key fixtures, and possible impact of the PSL is Usman Samiuddin. Hi, Usman.
Hi, CB. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Following the draft for the PSL.
Could you explain how the selection process works? It's obviously a bit different from the IPL and the other 2020 leagues where they have an auction system. They don't have an auction system in the PSL. It's more to do with a draft system. Can you explain what this entails?
Yeah, basically, I think, you know, any followers of American sport, the franchise sport in America will know exactly. It's a draft system that the PCB decided to use from pretty early on, actually. There's a couple of guys in the marketing department over there who are, you know, fairly young, and they've come back from America and they've watched a lot of American sport, US sport. So they decided that, you know, rather than have an auction where, although, you know, you have caps on how much a team can spend, you still kind of have an unequal playing field in the sense that, you know, the owner with the most money gets the best players. So what they decided, the PCB decided that, no, listen, you know, we think it's crucial for the league, for the quality of the league, that some teams, you know, they all start on a fairly level footing. So they said, okay, we're going to have a draft system whereby we will start off by, they kind of had a random generator system in which basically every one of the five teams gets an equal number of picks. Obviously an equal number of picks, but an equal number of, you know, so the best players they have to pick from, the second tier players they have to pick from, the third tier. They have five categories called platinum, gold, diamond, silver, and so on. So basically they've worked out this random generator algorithm, which ensures that every team gets a fair number of picks of each quality of player. You know, and that's led to a lot of interest, actually, because it's the first time I think it's happened in cricket. It's led to a lot of interest. For example, yesterday, the first pick, the very first pick of the Pakistan Super League, went to Islamabad United. Now, you know, Islamabad United didn't want, or they had been approached by Peshawar, who had the third pick in the draft. So Peshawar said, you know, we really, really want Shahid Afridi because he's important to us. So why don't we trade our picks? So, you know, even like as the draft began, Peshawar traded their first pick with Islamabad. Islamabad was, you know, Islamabad thought, well, we don't need Afridi that badly. Peshawar obviously does. Let's trade.
Right.
You know, so that kind of thinking and strategy comes in and made it really interesting, actually, throughout the day.
Right. You know, there's five categories, the platinum, gold. There was also an emerging category. What do these categories really entail?
So there's platinum, which is, you know, the top tier players, guys like Afridi, Kevin Peterson, Chris Gayle. There's the diamond category, which, you know, is one level below. Then you have guys like Kamran Akmal, Mohammad Hafeez, England's Chris Jordan. You have the gold category, which had, you know, the biggest name in the gold category. One of the biggest names yesterday was Mohammad Ahmed.
Right.
So, you know, you're kind of, you come down, there's different prices for everyone. So I think the platinum level is players will be paid $140,000 to $200,000. And then you come down in those kind of gradients. And it kind of, you know, signifies the value of a player. So if, you know, Afridi or let's say Chris Gayle and Kevin Peterson, they will get $200,000.
Okay.
For all the matches that they play. You know, the payment is going to be exactly like how it is in any other league. It's on, you know, it's on a pro rata basis.
Okay.
So the number of matches you play, you get paid that much.
Right. Who are the top draws in your view? Obviously, you mentioned Shahid Afridi. He's going to be playing for his native Peshawar. Shoaib Malik for the Karachi Kings. Who else do you think are the big draws?
I think Gayle, obviously. You know, although I personally feel that Gayle, we might have seen the best of him, and he might be on a very slight, I'm not going to go too far into this, I'm going to say a very slight downward, gentle slope to the end of his career now. You know, he's still, I think, capable against, you know, lesser attacks. I think he's still capable of going absolutely ballistic somewhere. But I think he's just at that point now where he's still a big name because he's Chris Gayle, rather than he's a big name because he's this great destructive batsman. So he was still a big buy. You know, Kevin Peterson, to the rest of the world, he might be receding. But, you know, for a first-time league like Pakistan, to get him, I think that was a big name. Mohammad Amir, I thought, was another huge, huge name. You know, I know he's played the Bangladesh Premier League, but for him to now kind of take this step back into Pakistan's cricket system, and he's been playing, you know, first-class cricket or whatever, but this is, you know, this is now a big thing. It effectively, I think, means that he's going to be back in the national side sooner rather than later. You know, he's going to be back. I think he could be back as soon as maybe for, not the New Zealand series, but even the World T20, he'll be back.
Is there a quota system with how many foreign players they can have in any given 11?
They're allowed four, no more than four foreign players in any 11. And they're also, like, they have to have a certain number in the squad. They have to have a certain number of emerging players and a certain number of players from each category, basically. So, you know, you can see it's very evenly done. If you're picking an equal number of players from each category, so, you know, you have a representative kind of quality across all teams.
Right. How different is this from its predecessor, the higher T20 Cup?
Completely. You know, I think for years now, you know, Pakistan, the cricket board has been trying to set up a league like this, you know, a 2020 league with franchise ownership. You know, the higher domestic T20 Cup is still a product very much of the PCB. So, you know, all the teams there are not owned by anyone, but, you know, they're overseen by the PCB. They're regional teams like Sialkot or the banks that play in Pakistan cricket.
Right.
And, you know, they're very much part of the domestic system. This is a whole new kind of, you know, franchise ownership system. So, you know, these franchises now have been bought by corporate entities and, you know, various other businessmen and all. And they will now, for the first time, I think, will have a real stake in kind of the development of Pakistan cricket. This is the kind of first time it has happened that, you know, the PCB has stepped back and said, okay, you know, you guys, you now have a financial and developmental stake in the game in this country, and we're going to let you run it as you want to. You know, we're going to decentralize ourselves a little bit, mm-hmm. so that these franchises now also have to look after their players. They have to pay them. They have to make sure that they're ready and they're fit. You know, so I think it's a gradual step towards something that, you know, should have been happening a long time back.
Right. I mean, this is obviously good for the PCB, obviously financially. There was one very interesting line that you happened to make in one of your copies, in which you said that if the PSL actually succeeds and the PCB starts to generate a lot of revenues from it, then having to play against India in a bilateral series, whether it's T20 or one day or T-tests, won't be that high. The premium won't be that high on it. Is that a big deal for Pakistan?
Yeah, completely. You know, I mean, one of the things that has happened over the last, I would say, decade now, you know, is that Pakistan haven't hosted India.
Right.
Which, you know, to every other country is the biggest series. The opportunity to host India, the amount of money you make from broadcast deals specifically, and then, you know, sponsorship and ad revenues, mm-hmm. is so humongous that, you know, for a lot of other countries, it probably calculates to anywhere, they say, anywhere between, you know, 15-70% of their entire revenue.
Wow.
You know, boards sign up broadcast deals with India. With the home country. So if, you know, 10 Sports signs up a deal with Pakistan, it'll value an India series at, you know, 70-80% of the entire value of the deal. So for them to not play means that they're losing out on 70-80% of what they should be earning, you know, and that probably holds sway across all boards who are not India. So, you know, to be able to kind of, and Pakistan, you know, other boards get to play India, get to host them. Pakistan haven't been able to do it. We've seen, you know, recently, their attempts to try and host a series in Sri Lanka, and that hasn't come off, and it's not going to. So, you know, for years now, they've been trying to kind of set up a separate alternative kind of revenue stream. And I think, you know, with the PSL, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be immediate either.
Mm-hmm.
But I think over the next decade, when, you know, they're predicting at least that they're going to be in the profit of what, about $50 to $60 million over the next 10 years. So that's like a $5 to $6 million profit every year, if you break it down, you know, every year, which kind of makes up for the absence. Now, India series is still massive. I think this series that they would have played this time,
mm-hmm.
If it had been a full series, it would have been worth $35 million to them. You know, if it had been a full series of tests, ODIs and T20s, it would have been $35 million. So, you know, it's not going to be that much money. But if you think about the amount of revenue that Pakistan are pulling in now from the PSL over the next 10 years, we're looking at maybe anywhere between $160-$170 million revenue,
right?
You know, ahead of costs. That kind of, you know, it's kind of softening the blow of not being able to play India, basically. And so I think in that sense, of course, they should try and strive to still play India as often as possible, because it's a great series for cricket. You know, it's one of cricket's marquee series. But I think in the meantime that it doesn't happen, then at least financially, I'm glad that they've put the step forward to kind of, you know, soften the impact of not playing against India.
Hmm. I mean, you've been very careful in talking up the PSL. I mean, you've obviously played devil's advocate in some of your articles. One hurdle, obviously, is that it's being played in the UAE and not in Pakistan, obviously, for the security situation, all of that. And one of the problems is that it kind of coincides with the Masters Champions League, which is this T20 competition for retired, quasi-retired players. Do you think that's going to be diluting the hype of the tournament?
I like the word you use, by the way, quasi-retired. I think that's the best way to kind of put their uncertain status of what those players are. But I asked this question to Najam Sethi, who's the head of the PSL, in an interview that we've done with the National, and he hedged his answer both ways. I have a feeling that it might have some impact this first year, because it's the first year of the MCL as well. So there will be some interest there, however long it lasts, there will be some interest there. And it's the first year of the PSL, so that will also last. And I think, just the fact that because they're playing at the same ground and 9 of the days of the two leagues are overlapping. So, on 9 days, you will have a couple of games happening in Sharjah, which will be the MCL. And you'll have a couple of games happening every day in Dubai, which will be the PSL. And I think it's bound to kind of, divide fan interest, spectator interest, TV viewership interest. It will, I don't think you can help but have that. No matter how many big players the PSL has and no matter how many big players the MCL has, I think it's going to happen. So they have to, I think, find a way in future to kind of avoid, playing a seven. There's like 6 players who are signed up to play both. Sangakkara is playing the MCL. And one of the reasons he wasn't picked in the draft yesterday in Pakistan was that franchises don't want to take him on because he's only going to be available for the last bit of their league.
Right.
So, but there will be some players who will be playing both, and I think there will be a general dilution. But it's something that they can't avoid now. They're not playing in Abu Dhabi. Neither league is playing in Abu Dhabi, so they're very cramped. Logistically, it's going to be a headache to play both leagues. At 2 grounds essentially.
Right.
So they're going to have to find a way around it. And I think, there will be some dilution effect for sure.
In fact, that was my final question as to why Abu Dhabi is not hosting any of these matches.
It's a strange one. I have a feeling that at least the PSL part of the PSL thing is because of, I think there was, a bit of friction. We reported on this some time back. There was a bit of friction between the PCB and the Emirates Cricket Board over
Qatar
the MCL.
Possibly hosting.
So they decided to move to Qatar and then they came back. And I think, I have a feeling that it might be a bit of a snub to Abu Dhabi cricket authorities to say that, we don't want to play here. So then, none of the matches are happening here, not the PSL or the MCL. But I think a more pressing reason might be a logistical one, simply that it's easier for production units, for TV production units, and for the league to house its players in one place in Dubai and just commute to Sharjah in Dubai. But I do know, and this is kind of late developing news, I do know that Pakistan has been talking to officials here in the ECB about maybe using Abu Dhabi, not this year, but from next year onwards. I think the plan is to kind of use Abu Dhabi as a venue against the PSL.
But I'll tell you one thing, having teams with local names like Peshawar, Zalmi and Lahore Qalandars is so refreshing as opposed to Chennai Super Kings and Sunrisers Hyderabad.
I think it is. I think they've done a great job, by the way. But I think one of the things that I've been really happy about is the financial commitment that people have made to cricket. So these the guys who own the teams, they're putting in like, Pakistan's not a huge market, 10, 12 times smaller than India in that sense.
Right.
And if you look at the amounts that these people are putting in, 26 million over 10 years for a franchise, that's like, it's impressive, in the sense that you wouldn't have seen that kind of financial commitment or you wouldn't have thought about it until it actually happened. So the fact that that has happened and now, they're really active with their marketing, they're really creative with their logo designs and how they've actually come up with names. At least, and there seems like a real kind of spirit behind this. I just hope, it goes ahead and people turn up in the UAE to watch it and stuff. It'd be nice for it to be a spectacle, that way.
So let's see how it goes. We obviously are a month away from it, but that's all the time we have in today's episode of Drinks Break. Usman, thanks for joining us. Usman Samiuddin is a staff writer on the National Sports Desk. This episode of Drinks Break was edited by Deepthi Unnikrishnan and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. You can follow the national sports coverage at NatSport UAE and our multimedia coverage at NSV UAE. You can also follow Usman on Twitter at Usman Samiuddin. I'm Chitra Bhanu Katlail.